And welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Adam, Dave, and Jamie here. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Good afternoon, Dave and Jamie. What's going on?
How are you, sir?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was your vacation?
It was fun. I had a really good time.
Are you engaged?
No, I'm not engaged. But
not even to the cat?
Oh, that cat is so annoying, man. If you went away for a week, Dave, would your dog be, like, so annoying and attention-starved for several days upon your return?
Knowing my family, the dog would come with us.
Oh, okay, well.
As he did this past weekend.
How about that?
Not only that, knowing your family, you would have the dog's plans before your vacation plans.
Probably.
Taken care of.
Probably.
Well, the cat
the
is
dog is a priority in the Richard house.
I am not engaged, but I do have some engagement stories from our listeners to share, and they're cool. Listen, email us. Again, the email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, but please put football podcast in the subject line. Very important this time of year because the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast is getting going to two times a week starting next week. We'll have an episode tomorrow and getting a lot of baseball podcast emails. So football podcast in the subject line. I got a trivia question for you, some quick news. We'll talk about the coaching changes and what they mean for fantasy. We'll talk about drafting in 2016, championship games, setting a fan to a lineup, and Dave's weekend, which, Dave, what happened? What happened over the weekend?
Something very interesting happened. I'll share it with the audience. I'll just tease it right now by saying that I spent part of my weekend in the back of a Florida Highway Patrolman's car.
Yeah.
That would be
Whoa.
A police car.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a badass.
Dave, I'm allowed to talk about it.
All right, we'll get to that in a bit. Here's your trivia question. Who led the NFL in passing yards per game in 2015?
Passing yards per game?
Yes, sir.
You got to think about the guys that threw a bunch of yards. I know Rivers and Breeze were up there. Is it one of those two?
Breeze is number two and Rivers is number three.
Blake Bortles.
Oh, that's a good guess.
How about Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, he did have a bunch of games with no touchdowns but a lot of passing yards.
It's just kind of interesting to think where you might draft him next year because, Jamie, you in particular were very high on Roethlisberger coming into this year, and he actually had more yards per game this year, more yards per attempt this year than Roethlisberger had in 2014 when he finished, I believe, as the number four quarterback in fantasy. So now that his season's over, let's peek ahead to 2016 and what you guys think about Big Ben.
Oh, I'm convinced he would have been a top three quarterback if he was healthy all season.
Top three. That means better than Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Dave, what do you think?
I agree. The question that I had with Roethlisberger all along was consistency. He ranked sixth among quarterbacks, qualified quarterbacks, in consistency last year. He had 20 or more fantasy points two-thirds of the time, and he was one of the... Not the hottest quarterbacks in the last five games, but he had some nice games down the stretch last year.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he's
averaged 22 fantasy points per game. It's pretty good.
I had another thought about the Steelers because Dave had Todd Gurley as his number one overall pick. I had Antonio Brown. Jamie, you had Brown, right?
Yep.
Do you think Martavis Bryant could maybe hurt Antonio Brown's production and make Brown perform more like, you know, a first-round pick, but not number one overall? You think, like, the development of Martavis Bryant?
Nope.
Dave?
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well, Adam.
Okay.
You know, I think his role is his role, and first of all, he's kind of a knucklehead. And if he does something this offseason that gets him in trouble, you could say bye-bye to him being on the field at all next year. And they came around on Sammy Coates. He had a role in their game, in the playoff game last weekend. He'll do some stuff. I believe Wheaton's a free agent. So he's either a free agent or he's in a contract year. I can get back to you on that. But Antonio Brown's not going anywhere. His role's not going to change. And Big Ben loves throwing to him.
Okay, then. Let's go on to the news and notes. Josh Gordon applied for reinstatement, according to ESPN.com.
Now, this is a receiver who could make a real impact next year.
Yeah, all right. What do you think about Josh Gordon?
He's not a free agent.
He's not a free agent. He's still with the Browns.
No, Wheaton.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Is he a free agent to be?
Maybe.
That must be what I was thinking of.
Well, let's talk about Josh Gordon here and what you guys would think about him. Let's say he is back on the Browns. for
he is six, back on the Browns.
16 games, Josh Gordon, where would you put him in your 2016 wide receiver rankings?
As of right now, probably top 30. If I know who the quarterback is and I like the quarterback situation, easily top 20.
I agree.
But not like top 10.
No, I think he's got to, you know, prove that he's back to that level of what we saw him the last time he played before the suspension. Because think about when he came back from the suspension. He wasn't exactly elite. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Was he like, so that was, what, like three or four games at the end of last season?
Yeah, there's more than that, I believe.
Yeah, and
he had one good game when he came back. I think it was against Atlanta.
It was.
And then after that, it was just kind of not what we were hoping for.
No,
not what
at
anybody
all.
Was hoping for.
All right, so next year, Martavis Bryant or Josh Gordon? Let's say Gordon's on the Browns.
But again, who's the quarterback?
Have your pick.
There will be people who say it won't matter who the quarterback is because of what Josh Gordon was able to do several years ago.
Yeah, but if
with
it's
a mishmash
rookie,
of quarterbacks.
Let's say it's Goff.
Right.
Is there a guy bridging the gap? You know, is he going to deal with two quarterbacks? Did they bring back McCown as a...
I'll take either of those guys with Josh Gordon and rank him confidently as a top 36 wide receiver.
Oh,
probably closer to 25.
If you were the quarterback, he's top 36. If he has a capable quarterback, then I think he's got the chance to be top 20. So I think it comes down to, you know, you're going to compare him to the receivers like Doug Baldwin.
I'll take Baldwin over.
Yeah.
Here's some guys that I would rank.
It's going to be Gordon versus Baldwin versus the Arizona guys versus Keenan Allen, Randall Cobb, Alan Hearns, Eric Decker, Steve Smith.
Sure.
This is the group he's going to be in. He's not going to be in the upper echelon group. And I would take Bryant over him. I would take Edelman over him. I would take Cooks over him. I'd take Kelvin Benjamin over him.
And there's risks too with taking Josh Gordon, because what happens if he fails another drug test?
Right.
And he vanishes off your team completely.
Right.
But I love his new play caller in Cleveland, Adam.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Jackson could be very, very good for Josh Gordon.
All right, we'll get to the coaches in a second. The other note, not much going on here, but yeah, Mike McCarthy, he called out Eddie Lacy, said Lacy was overweight, needs to be in better shape next year.
Whoa. You're kidding. I've never heard this before.
Well, it's true. You know, it's something we mentioned maybe once or twice. Eddie Lacy, definitely overweight, and he struggled. He actually averaged 4.1 yards per carry. Didn't have a totally terrible season, but he was outside the top 20 at running back after finishing sixth in standard scoring leagues each of his first two seasons in the league. So Eddie Lacy, if he gets in shape, if he gets his act together, you know, both he and C.J. Anderson, I think, are kind of interesting. Total busts, but I think you can make a good case for them going into 2016. So, like, who are you guys more excited about going into next year, Lacy or C.J. Anderson?
Lacy as of now, but I like both as top 15 running backs next year.
Potentially. I'm worried about things falling apart for both backfields. All it takes is for Green Bay to draft another running back or Denver to add another guy.
Let's forget that, because we can react to that. Let's just assume.
Fine. Lacy is who I have ranked ahead of Anderson.
And now let's throw Jeremy Hill in there. Of these three, like, major first-round busts, who are you guys most confident could bounce back in 2016 as of right now?
Lacy 1, Anderson 2, and Hill 3. But Anderson is the one that concerns me the most because of the quarterback situation. Who's going to be the starter there?
I think Anderson's also the most expendable of the three. That the Broncos can just go and add another running back and say, okay, C.J. Anderson, you didn't give us any consistency. See ya.
Anderson's been their best running back all season.
Yeah. Has
for
he?
For the season.
For the season, that's fine. Yes. But
they would get Ronnie Hillman off the field on Sunday.
Okay, why are so they keep giving the ball start. To Ronnie Hillman? I can't deal with this. Ridiculous. He's been so bad for like five games now, except for the Chargers game.
Look at Anderson's last four games at home, he's been fantastic. You look at every time he's had 14 or more carries, he's been fantastic. He's starting to get going a little bit.
Yes.
I think the injuries really plagued him in the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
I really do. And then I think you look at, you know, last year he was a volume guy. You know, he had a lot of chunk plays, but I think it was a lot of it just getting a ton of work.
Do you think the offensive line gets, obviously it's going to improve in Denver, and that'll certainly
better
help things.
Gone on.
It has, but it really never really got to a point where you could look at it and say, okay, it's a non-issue.
You also had two different, completely different quarterback styles. Mm-hmm. One guy was running one basically system. One guy was running another system.
Which game are you more excited about for this weekend?
The NFC game.
Well, I'm more excited about the AFC game. I guess I'm a sucker for the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady storyline.
Yeah, it's just it's not the same storyline now. Because Peyton hasn't been Peyton for a while.
Yeah, it's totally true. I also think the Panthers are kind of boring.
Oh, I'm praying for an Arizona-New England Super Bowl.
That would be the most fun
Super
Bowl.
That's the most fun by far.
Yeah, as long as it has New England. Denver is fairly boring.
Denver, Carolina would put me to sleep.
Denver, Carolina, yeah, that would be the worst. I agree with you. Hey, Sportsline. Go on Sportsline. We have picks for every NFL game, college basketball, NBA, hockey. We have A picks against the spread and for the totals. A, B, and C grades on every pick. You want to pay attention to the A picks. Sportsline.com/FFT to learn more. Listen to a couple of the podcasts that are going strong right now. Eye on Basketball and Eye on College Basketball. Good season for them. Fantasy Baseball starting up as well. If you want to learn more about our podcast, go to CBSSports.com/podcast. Talking about the coaching changes, and then we'll get into some engagement stories and find out why Dave was arrested and Jamie had to bail him out of jail over the weekend.
Why do you assume I bailed him out of jail?
Why do you assume I was arrested?
You said you were in the back of a cop car. I assume you were arrested and you had to call Jamie with your one phone call to bail you out of jail.
You have a weird imagination.
That's actually an interesting one. We should come up with next week who would be your one phone call.
That's kind of easy, isn't it? You guys would call your wives.
I might call Jamie's wife among us.
Oh, among you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
We'll pull Heath and Chris and all those other guys.
I would obviously call Jamie over Dave because Dave is going to be asleep when I'm arrested.
That's true.
So that's an easy one. All right, coaching changes.
Dave is the most unreliable.
I'm the most unreliable.
You're sleeping all the time.
So I've jumped out of bed. I've helped people get to the airport at 3 a.m. before.
You know, I try to.
I help people out.
Have you ever bailed someone out of jail?
I don't know if you help people out, but you're asleep.
Have you ever bailed someone out of jail?
Never.
No.
I almost did, but I would have had to give up, I would have had to put my car up, basically, to the bail bonds. Bail bondsmen are the sleaziest, crappiest people you'll ever come across.
I'm sure we've got some bail bondsmen listening to this podcast.
All right, well, the ones in Miami were really bad. My friend got arrested for ticket scalping and for, like, resisting arrest or something, and I went to bail him out of jail to do the nice thing. His bail was like $1,000, so we would have had to put up something like that. We had to call the au pair. Yeah, yeah, we had to put up it was me and my
friend.
Sell
off one of the gold bullion.
I was going to have to give up the rights to my
spoons.
Car. So I decided to let him spend the night in jail. Whatever you guys are saying about my au pair is not true. Best coaching hire for fantasy, Dave.
I'm going to go with Hugh Jackson because I think he'll make chicken salad out of Cleveland.
Jamie, best for you.
I mean, it's not close as Mike Mularkey. You don't get better than that hire.
There's one better than Hugh Jackson.
What's that?
Adam Gase.
Yeah, Gase is my favorite. I think what he inherits is a lot of potential. And if he can tap into that potential, it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's an interesting one. It's like you do see the potential in the Dolphins, but then you have to ask yourself, like, how good is Ryan Tannehill? Because I just don't really think he's good.
That's what we're about to find out.
Well, I mean, I guess that's fair, but I think we've seen enough of him. He's not a clutch player. He kind of folds in big spots, and maybe he can still be good in fantasy, but all right, I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's what we have, Adam. We have a situation where there's a quarterback that the team is invested in. I mean, it's not better than the Tennessee situation in terms of quarterback-wise, but it's better than, you know, Cleveland's got no quarterback for Hugh Jackson. Who knows what Doug Peterson is going to have at his disposal. Chip Kelly's, you know, talking as we speak right now about, or being asked about, is Colin Kaepernick going to be his starter? There's just uncertainty. And at least with what Gase is stepping into, there's a chance for him to, let me back up for a second. It's different with the new guys going to different teams as opposed to McAdoo with the Giants and, Cutter with the Bucks, because those guys are stepping into situations that we can probably expect to be the same.
Right, right. Which fantasy is a good thing for those offenses, right?
But
right. The continuity is an important thing.
So I guess my point would be is that Gase has a chance to put his imprint on Ryan Tannehill and maybe do what he did to help Peyton Manning, you know, when he made the transition to Denver, and help Jay Cutler in their 1 year together. And maybe that makes a difference. You know, I don't disagree with what you're saying, that, you know, we kind of know who Ryan Tannehill is, but there's a good receiving core in place with Landry and Parker, and there's pieces there that could make Tannehill and can make this offense fun if Gaze does what I think a lot of us are hoping he does.
Now, with that said, it's not like Jay Cutler had a very prolific year.
He did. It just wasn't consistent enough.
Well, he had good metrics. He had good interception to the touchdown interception ratio. He had good completion percentage.
Huh? He had a 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. I mean, that might be good for him.
Right.
Okay, and Alshon Jeffrey was hurt. I think the cards were kind of stacked against him. Yeah. Martellus Bennett,
I mean,
got
you
hurt.
Go from week 4 through week 10, and his stats were great. He had Alshon for most, if not all, of those games. He was healthy. He had 5 games in there. He had 5 games with 21 fantasy points and one with 30.
And they also were expecting, Kevin White to be a big part of that offense. He wasn't.
Yeah. That's true. Now, I think Chip Kelly going to San Francisco, Doug Peterson, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, going to Philadelphia. Very interesting hires. What do you guys think about those two?
Well, I think the interesting thing with Kelly is really Carlos Hyde, because Hyde is much more along the lines of DeMarco Murray than he is LeSean McCoy. He's a straight-ahead runner, and that didn't work with DeMarco Murray. So we'll see how that sort of materializes. I think there's a lot to like about Hyde because he has a coach that's, shown a good consistency to commit to the run. But, I think it's tough division. It's, uncertain quarterback situation, uncertain receiving core situation because Anquan can walk as a free agent. So there's just a lot of, uncertainty with that whole roster.
I would be nervous if I were a 49ers fan. Because we've seen now over the last 2 seasons that teams have started to pick up on what Chip Kelly does. Is Chip Kelly going to change to the point where he becomes unpredictable and the 49ers have this identity that's completely different than what we saw in Philadelphia the past 2 years? I'm very nervous about it. And then you're putting Kaepernick at the helm. Theoretically, it should mean a lot of stats for Kaepernick, but I'll go back to what I've said all along. And the one thing that worried me about Sam Bradford last year, we haven't seen a quarterback last 16 games under Chip Kelly in the pros.
Is that Kelly's fault, though, or the guys he inherited?
It might be the guys he inherited or the guys he picked in the case of Sam Bradford.
Right.
But Kaepernick got banged up this past year.
Oh, I'm not saying that Kaepernick's the answer. I don't know if it's, has he had the right quarterback for him?
Right.
Or has he just chosen poorly or inherited poorly the guys that he's gotten?
I also think Gabbert could be a decent quarterback for his system, too. So, but I mean, we're talking about a 49ers team that's going to have Chip Kelly at the head coach, and they're not going to change quarterbacks.
But the thing that makes the most sense for San Francisco is to cut him.
To cut Kaepernick?
Kaepernick. Because they owe him so much money if he's on the roster after April 1st.
So do they cut him and try and re-sign him?
No,
you just move on.
You move on. I mean,
I thought that part of the reason why Chip Kelly got this job and other guys didn't get this job was because they wanted to keep Kaepernick.
There's a report about, that
that's why Mike
Shanahan
didn't
get the
job.
But I think if you're San Francisco, you cut ties with Kaepernick and you make a play for maybe RG3. Are they that much different at this point?
I think I'd rather have Kaepernick.
I would too, but not at that cost.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If Kaepernick is the quarterback there and Chip Kelly finally has his mobile quarterback, his Chip Kelly offense kind of guy, does he become interesting for you in fantasy?
Interesting, yes, but not somebody I'm going to draft.
Is he a late round pick?
If it's like a 14 team league and I'm looking for a second guy after I drafted, a capable starter, sure, I'll take a flyer on. Dave has a good, preseason and training camp. The good thing though for you, Dave, is that Tim Tebow's got another chance at a training camp.
Right, he could end up with the 49ers right in camp, and then I can. Although he didn't bring me a title this year.
The karma's gone?
The karma was gone. I got my butt kicked by Kirk Cousins.
Dave, what do you think about Philadelphia under Doug Peterson?
I like it. I can't quite put a finger on exactly why. Because you look at Doug Peterson, and he doesn't have a lot of play calling experience, doesn't have a lot of NFL coaching experience, but he's played a lot, and He's been involved in football his whole life.
He's Andy Reid.
Is he?
I mean, that's what they hired.
It sounds like that's what he is, but I actually like the staff that he's put together. And I think that they've got I think Philadelphia learned a lot by putting all their eggs in one guy's basket, which is what they did with Chip Kelly last year. And now they're going to go and be more of like a, a democracy, for lack of a better term, with their coaching staff and making decisions. I don't think there's going to be one guy that necessarily has final say. Peterson will make decisions on game day. I don't have a problem giving him that. He seems like a smart guy. I think this is actually going to be a good move for Philadelphia. Kind of an understated quarter, or I keep saying quarterback. He's a former quarterback. an understated coaching hire. Not the flashiest name, not the sexiest name, but Philadelphia just got done with that and it backfired on them.
Yeah, but the thing that has to happen though, again, it's with a lot of these coaches, it's who is he coaching? Because Chip Kelly made a mess of this roster by the guys that they got rid of. Obviously, Doug Peterson would have loved to step in and coach LeSean McCoy, Deshaun Jackson, Jeremy Maclin. Now, Maclin, you could say, would have left anyway, potentially as a free agent, but there's not a lot to like about this roster if you don't like these guys. Now, I think this is good for DeMarco because it's a coach that has been with a guy who's got a track record of running the ball or having success.
So he understands the importance of running the ball.
Right.
And
so I think this is good for Murray and Matthews, you know, but again, they're going to continue to eat away at each other. I think it's good for Jordan Matthews and Zach Ertz because it's an offensive-minded coach that's gotten success out of number one receiver and tight end in the past. But I mean,
you're taking everything that's happened with Andy Reid. You're just assuming that Andy Reid has just filled Doug Peterson's brain.
Well, I mean, you see that a lot with guys from trees, you know. And
sure, but some guys will change it up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to have his own take on it. He should.
Right.
But I still think you got to look at what – that's the basis what you have to go off of. This is an Andy Reid guy. It's the reason they hired him. Who is going to be the play caller?
It's going to be him.
No, quarterback.
Doug Peterson.
Sorry, who's going to be the quarterback?
Oh, right.
Who's going to be the guy under center making the decisions? Is that going to enhance the running game? Is that going to enhance the quarterback situation, the receiver situation? You know, I was listening to our colleague Pat Kerwin on his Sirius show talking about, does he bring Chase Daniel with him? You know, a guy that knows the system, maybe he's the guy that bridges the gap on who the next starter is.
It's not a bad call at all.
No, but it would be awful for fantasy.
Well, Chase has had some good numbers in fantasy before.
Okay. I'm not going to bank on Jordan Matthews helping me.
I'm taking Colin Kaepernick ahead of Chase Daniel in fantasy drafts. And
but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Daniel does for his receiver.
Jordan Matthews found a way to get good numbers last year.
I'll take Sam Bradford over Chase Daniel.
All right. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the wrong way thing to go. You're probably going to see both of them if Sam Bradford's there because they'll get banged up at some point.
In 2016, Jordan Matthews or Larry Fitzgerald?
I think Fitzgerald. I actually have Matthews ranked higher.
Matthews or Randall Cobb?
Cobb. Cobb's going to be one of the best values you'll find on draft day next year.
I don't think he will because I feel like everybody's going to think that.
Well, we'll see.
But not, you know, but you think he'll bounce back. I feel like most people will.
Yeah.
Agree. Jordan Matthews or Josh Gordon?
Gordon. More upside.
Gordon.
All right, guys. Engagement stories. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. This one comes from Ryan. Where's Ryan from?
Poughkeepsie, New York.
Okay. Well, he went all the way out to Estes Park, Colorado. He says, Dear Zales, Kay, and Hellsberg, my now wife and I were on vacation in Estes Park, Colorado. I had it all planned out that we'd get up early to watch the sunrise at a small lake just inside Rocky Mountain National Park. The lake could be accessed by car. It was a 15-minute drive from our cabin. There's a mountain to the west of the lake, so I had this vision of the sun peeking over the mountain and glistening off the water. Not bad. There was a catch. It was a rainy June morning, so I was worried about the clouds blocking the sun, but I thought we'd try for it anyway. On the drive up this winding road, the rain was slowing to a drizzle, and we could see a rainbow in the distance. Around each bend, we seemed to be getting closer and closer to the rainbow. We came around a bend just as the sun was beginning to peek over the mountain, and the end of the rainbow could be seen at eye level, disappearing into the top of a pine tree that was down in a ravine at the side of the road. We got out to take in the scenery, and I proposed at the side of the road with the end of a rainbow 50 yards away from us. That's not bad. What do you think?
Are you taking notes?
That's pretty impossible. I mean, that's like perfect serendipity there. That the rainbow would come up, like that's very sweet. And he said, P.S. there was no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, unless you're speaking figuratively, then yes, my wife is that pot of gold.
Wow.
Aww. Yeah, no, not bad. Thank you, Ryan. All right, got two more. This is from Josh in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Josh bought the ring in January of 2013. Her roommate at the time helped me pick it out. Somehow, we both kept it a secret for months, despite my wife constantly showing us both pictures of rings that she likes and dropping hints. Finally, after I graduated college and got a job, I decided to propose in September 2013. At the time, I was working in Houston. She was living in Norman, Oklahoma, about an 8-hour drive. The weekend before I was going to propose, I drove up to her mom's house. I asked her blessing. I expressed my desire to keep it a secret for one more week. All right, here's what he did. For the proposal, I got a bunch of our friends to help. I had T-shirts made. On the back, they read, "Will you marry me?" That Saturday, her and I drove up to Oklahoma City to go see a movie. All of our friends were there waiting around a corner so she wouldn't see them. I also had two other friends recording it. As we rounded the corner, our friends took off their jackets, exposing the question printed on the back of their shirts. She stopped, turned around, and saw me down on one knee with the ring. She broke down into tears and just started nodding. She couldn't speak because she was crying. As our friends turned around, the fronts of their shirts read, "She said yes!" It was a pretty fantastic and complete surprise. We have been married for 14 months now, and with a little help from you guys, continue to dominate our fantasy football league that we're both in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
What do they do with all the shirts?
I don't know. That's pretty good.
It's like a gift for everybody who helped out.
All right. So who's the leader so far, the rainbow or the shirts?
The shirts is more creative.
The rainbow's a little more special, though.
All right. So I guess we have a tie. All right. Nathan in a city of Dave's choice in Western Canada.
Let's go with Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
He says, "Hey, Noah, Allie, and Finn." I had to look this up. This is The Notebook, which I will never watch.
Why not?
I just forget it. Not happening. It's
why?
Total loss. The Notebook? Total loss of man card.
What if you're...
not even if you watch it one time? With
not a
lazy?
Chance. It's not happening.
Says you have to watch Adam or we're never having sex again.
Whoa.
Are you really... Are you really going there?
What if she said that to you?
Then celibacy it is. All right, here's the question. Here's the email.
That's terrible, Adam. It's any movie is worth seeing one time.
No, not The Notebook. I mean, The Notebook might not even be that bad, but it's a matter of principle at this point. I will
why,
not.
Wait watch. A minute. Wait. This is all because you've heard the narrative that The Notebook is a chick flick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Name anything you know about The Notebook. Go.
It's a chick flick.
Do you know any of the characters?
I know Rachel McAdams is in it, and I know it has a Noah, Allie, and Finn, apparently.
She
have you seen
Allie.
It, Dave?
I've seen it one time.
And what do you think?
And I had sex with my wife after. It was so
nice. I've never right. seen it, nor will I.
Thank you, Jamie.
It's a sad movie.
Okay, well, here's the less sad story. I like this one. On June 6th of 2015, I proposed to my then-girlfriend, Nikita. Her birthday is June 2nd, so as a birthday gift, I bought her a spa package to get a massage, a manicure, and a pedicure. She was none the wiser when I dropped her off that she would be picked up by a limo filled with seven of her closest friends, including her best friend who came 600 miles for the occasion. Her wow. friends insisted this was a birthday surprise, so naturally she decided to let loose and have fun celebrating her birthday with her friends. Four bottles of champagne later, the limo was headed back to our house where I was waiting to propose. The limo pulled up, the door opened, and out came my beautiful and champagne-drunk girlfriend. Through a hysteria of joyful tears and laughter, she stumbled up the driveway to find me waiting on one knee. Needless to say, she said yes, and we plan to be married in September of this year.
Nice.
Pretty cool. I think my favorite is the T-shirts. Very clever.
Well, I mean, the T-shirt took a lot of thought ahead of time.
Yeah, and getting friends to help out. That's good stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the setting of the first one.
Well, because you watched
I think
the
that's
notebook,
a little more memorable.
Romantic stuff.
Stop it. You're going to make me cry.
Looking ahead to 2016.
If
as
you're going to have a romantic moment in your life, shouldn't it be your engagement? Or if
your
not,
wedding?
Your wedding? Like, you had a very, very amazing moment at your wedding, Jamie.
Yeah.
It was when they brought out those little pigs in a blanket, and I hogged them up before dinner. Yeah, it was amazing. They were so good. That's
right. That sounds very touching. Actually, I forgot to ask Dave why he got arrested and had Jamie bail him out. So take it away, Dave.
So we're on our way home from seeing family in Sarasota, Florida, a.k.a. hometown of the Macho Man, Randy Savage, when we're driving on the highway, high rate of speed, and here comes a tire flying at our car.
Whoa.
That quick.
Whoa.
And it hits the front of our car, smashes up the front of our car. We immediately pull over to the side of the road. Everybody in the car is fine. Get out to look. And I mean, our front bumper is just smashed. Whole right side of the car smashed. And, somehow still drivable. we put the hazards on and wobble our way to the next exit and pull off and park ourselves in a gas station where for the next 5 hours we sit and wait for police to come. We file a report. Turns out it's a tire from a semi-trailer, an 18-wheeler, that flew off while the car was going, or the truck rather, was going northbound on I-75. And according to the tow truck driver, he said, we're very lucky that the tire hit the car and not the windshield, because if it had hit the windshield, it wouldn't have mattered whether you were wearing a seatbelt or not. You would have been squashed.
Oh, God,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, so I needed to rent a car, so I found a car rental place nearby, and the cop gave me a ride, and I went in the back of his cruiser to get there. It was a very tight squeeze. He actually needed to help me get out of the car because my feet were, like, stuck underneath. It was built for, like, my grandmother to sit in there, like somebody who's, like, 5'5 and 110 pounds.
Jeez.
Yeah, and so here I am, 6'3", 280, stuffed in the back of this car. But everybody's safe and sound, and that's my story.
Oh man,
happy Martin Luther King weekend, everybody.
That wasn't a fun story at all.
No, it was not a fun story.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, Dave. We're happy to hear that.
Now, if you're interested, I can rate the Applebee's at the I-75 exit in Estero, Florida. For
I ate at Applebee's on Tuesday.
Did
no,
you
on
get
Monday.
The
on
charbroiled
Monday.
Chicken wrap? Because that's what I had.
No, I got the. Oh gosh, I don't remember. It was good though. You know,
I'll give it a 5 out of 10.
I was surprised.
Polished off my son's burger. That was a lot better.
Okay. All right. Now let's look ahead to 2016. These guys were eliminated from the playoffs. Where are you drafting, or when are you drafting Russell Wilson next year? Number 3 quarterback in fantasy. Jamie, what do you think Russell Wilson for 2016?
I think he's a top 10 quarterback with the chance to be a top 5 guy. And I will draft him with a mid-round pick where I will take all my quarterbacks next year.
If you can get him, then, because there might be some goofball in your league that tries to take him a little earlier than that. People are going to remember Russell Wilson for the hot stretch he had. And I think that's where the offense is going to land up, because I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to be there. I think they've learned that they can win with Russell Wilson throwing. And so I agree. I think he's a top 10 quarterback. And he should be like any other quarterback. You're hoping for him to be a value that falls into your lap where it feels like a steal. Same advice I've been saying for years now, Adam. You got to feel like you're stealing your quarterback.
Led the NFL in passer rating, and kind of interesting, only had one rushing touchdown this year. So
yeah,
came late in the year, too.
That bodes well for him. All right, how about his partner in crime, Doug Baldwin, who finished as the number 7 wide receiver in fantasy and standard scoring leagues, only had 78 catches, but over 1,000 yards. And it was really the touchdowns, because he only had 1,069 yards, but 14 touchdowns, which was the most in the NFL, tied with Brandon Marshall and Allen Robinson. And for Baldwin, it was just really Jimmy Graham got hurt and he went nuts. So, Jamie, when are you going to draft Doug Baldwin?
Not before round 5. That's about the spot I would look for.
Dave? I don't even know if I would take him in round 5. I would be nervous to draft Baldwin as anything more than a low-end number 2, high-end number 3 fantasy receiver, because we don't know what it's going to be like.
Well, that's
when Jimmy Graham
comes
back.
Those receivers, because everybody's going to go heavy on receivers next year.
I think so, but it doesn't mean that Doug Baldwin has to be one that you target. He is entering a contract year next year, and I think that that's going to be interesting for him. But I'm not sure if his production is going to keep up from what we saw. Is it going to be the guy that we've seen for all but the last half of this past season, or the guy that we saw from the last half of this season? Well, I would probably lean toward what we saw before.
The thing I think, there's a few things that work in his favor. The first would be is the majority of his production came when Marshawn Lynch was out, so they didn't have the running back that they leaned on the majority of his tenure during his Seattle days. So I think you look at, is Thomas Rawls fill that production, or is Thomas Rawls just the running back that's going to be the guy there? So does it become back, like you said, you think the way that that's the offense is trending, that bodes well for Doug Baldwin. The other thing that bodes well for Doug Baldwin is that Jimmy Graham is not going to be back on the field to start the season, which I don't expect him to be based on what the patella tendon injury has been. So if Graham has a setback, Graham's not ready or has a setback, then I think you look at Baldwin goes back to being the guy that they lean on. And I think that helps his cause. Is he going to be able to sustain that level of production over the course of 16 games? I think the numbers that he showed probably are overinflated touchdown wise, but get a little bit better catch and yards wise.
All right, let's go to the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, who this year was, I believe, the number 8. Now, he was the number 7 quarterback, but how about this for Rodgers? The last 5 healthy seasons that Rodgers had, so not counting 2013, he was either the number 1 or number 2 quarterback in fantasy. So when would you consider drafting Aaron Rodgers next year?
Pretty sure he had Jordy Nelson for a lot of those.
I'll just tell you this right now. He's the NFL MVP of 2016.
Hmm.
Well, so if you feel that's the case, then he should probably
be... So is he your number 1 quarterback?
He's my number 2 quarterback.
Behind who?
Cam.
Then he should be a second round pick at worst.
Well, I won't take him in the second round, but yeah, I think he's going to be one of the first quarterbacks off the board. But it depends. If you were burned by Rodgers this year, then you're going to shy away from him.
Would you take him if he fell to you in the 4th round?
Yes.
Would you take him if he fell to you in the 3rd round?
No.
So you're not going to have Aaron Rodgers on your team next year.
And not unless it's 2 quarterback.
Right. Obviously, that changes the whole game. But I agree with you. I think getting Jordy Nelson back, and assuming that Jordy Nelson comes through with his rehab with flying colors, and we see a little bit of it in training camp in the preseason, along with the Packers probably adding another piece at wide receiver. They've probably seen enough. Come on.
No, not with what Janis showed them.
Really, you think Janis? Look at what it took for Janis to get on the field.
Yeah, but they have now 4, potentially 5 guys, because you have both Janis and Aberderis.
Aberderis. Wait a second. What Janis showed them in the Cardinals game when he caught 2 passes for like 100 yards on the last drive. Well,
that's another guy if you want to reference Mike McCarthy calling out Eddie Lacy, you got to reference Mike McCarthy saying that they were impressed by what Janis
did. Good for you. You know what? What Rodgers said like 4 weeks ago that they wanted to get Jared Aberderis more involved, and they didn't. I mean, he barely got more involved.
Yeah,
Randall Cobb was out.
Offseason of him. I'm not saying that he's a difference maker, but they're not adding at wide receiver when they just spent on Nelson 2 offseasons ago, and they spent on Cobb last offseason. They're not adding at wide receiver.
They can draft another wide receiver.
They're not going to. They need to draft other places to help their team. Wide receiver is the last problem for that team right now if you have a healthy Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, they could use another guy.
They need to develop another guy.
Which is what they're going to do with
Janis
those 2 guys.
Or Montgomery. I don't know if it's going to be Devontae Adams.
They're not drafting.
Those guys were terrible
really
all year.
Janis, to be honest with you.
They were terrible all year as a group. And I can't let one lucky drive against Arizona like taint that what you think about them going into next year.
I don't think that he's a guy that's going to be a difference maker for their team, but they're not investing in wide receiver when they keep investing in wide receiver year after year, and now they have a group that they should be able to rely on.
All right, well, we talked about Randall Cobb. We talked about Eddie Lacy. I was going to say let's go to Pittsburgh, but we kind of covered Ben Roethlisberger. Well, how about Martavis Bryant, and when you would consider drafting Martavis Bryant next year?
Round 4.
I would wait. I love that guy, but I can't take him in round 4. I still think there's going to be some good receivers on the board.
Who's more talented than Martavis Bryant? Like, couldn't he be a budding star? Could he not have the Randall Cobb year, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson kind of year for Antonio Brown and Martavis
100%.
Bryant?
He definitely could. What scares me off is how his regular season finished.
Yeah. That's fair. All right.
When he came back off the suspension, man, he was great. He had 9 or more fantasy points in 4 or 5 games. And then his last 4 games were 4-8, zip and zip.
Yeah, it was weird. Okay, last guy then. Jeremy Maclin. Interesting receiver here. What do you think about Jeremy Maclin going into next year?
Someone you settle for.
As a number 2 receiver, though.
No, 3 for me.
I don't think so. I think he's proven what he can do in that offense.
For me, he's a 3rd receiver.
All right, so I'll take him as a number 2 receiver.
Low-end number 2?
No, maybe even a little bit higher than that.
Okay.
I mean, what's not to like about Jeremy Maclin? He finished as a top 15-ish receiver this past season. He wasn't very consistent. That could be one issue about him. He only had 10 or more fantasy points 46.7% of the time, 7 times out of what ended up being 15 games. I like that he finished the season. He finished last season very strong. If you look at his last 6 games, he had 10 or more fantasy points in 5 of them. I think Philly's offense kind of is what it is. Maybe that's telling what I just said, is that we still remember him also for what he did in Philadelphia. And you have to remember, to Jamie's point, his games were not great when he had Jamal Charles on the field. He only had two games with big points with Jamal Charles out there. And when he was out and the running game couldn't get going, they had to turn to Jeremy Maclin. Yeah. I still think he's the number two wide receiver.
All right, guys. FanDuel. This is the last week for FanDuel for NFL, right?
Yep.
The end.
Because you have to have two games for FanDuel, so it's Super Bowl week. There are no FanDuel contests. So it's interesting because I'm tempted to you know, play for more money than I usually do, but I'm not sure because I don't feel so confident. Last week, the lineup that we gave out on the air would have won you a 50-50. I don't know how it would have done in a tournament, but we did well in the 50-50.
It was a good tournament. I won with another lineup that I did, which would have been a lot better if I stuck with Gronkowski instead of taking him out after he was in the hospital.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, a lot of people did that.
No, our lineup did not do well in the tournament, Adam.
Well, it couldn't have done that poorly, though.
No, but again, you know, it's one or two players that were different. Like,
right.
Jonathan Stewart was good. Gronk was good. We didn't have those two guys. So,
yeah.
It didn't have the huge potential that it could have.
Yeah, well, did get you a cash, though, in a 50-50 almost certainly. So hopefully we'll try to help you out again. But play on FanDuel because right now, if you are dying to play fantasy football, FanDuel's the way to go. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. And look, it's not just football, NBA, NHL, college. Get on there, go on FanDuel, and start playing right now. And let's talk about the games. New England at Denver. The Patriots are three-point favorites. The Panthers are three-point favorites. What's your pick for the game? Let's start with the Patriots and the Broncos. What do you guys think happens in this one?
I can't see a way where Denver wins. Not with the way that the Patriots have been playing. Not with the way that the Denver offense just continues to look and continues to struggle to find ways to put up points. They were fortunate to put up as many points as they ended up getting, 23. They were lucky. They got real lucky. A fumble helped them out, and I just don't know if the Patriots are going to make mistakes like that. So I think New England goes into Denver, and they find a way to win.
I think New England wins also, but, I mean, they had 9 drops in that game, so I don't know how much fortunate.
But drops have been...
They had a situation where they beat New England the last time these two teams met, and that was with Osweiler.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Huh?
Well, I just want to point out Gronkowski got hurt in that game. Edelman didn't play.
Well, Gronk got hurt late. But yeah, Edelman didn't play.
But they lost late. You know, they lost a fourth quarter lead, if I recall.
Sure,
and they lost
but,
in overtime.
I mean, it's not like he was missing. He still was a huge part of that game.
I feel like if he didn't get hurt, they probably would have won. You're picking New England, though.
No, I think you look at this is Peyton Manning's game to win or lose. If he plays well, they'll win. Because it's not like New England's going to just move the ball at will against this defense. So if Peyton has a above-average game, I think Denver can win the game. But I think New England's just playing too well right now. When everybody's healthy for them, there's just too many parts to stop defensively and offensively.
Well, if you want to know if we think they'll cover, you can listen to our opening line podcast from Sportsline.
They'll cover.
One thing that's interesting, I mean, New England has no running game. You know, they have no running game.
They have Brady.
They have Brady. He's unbelievable. And I do think that, look, Roethlisberger threw for over 300 yards twice. He's the only quarterback to throw for 300 yards against Denver. Did it twice. I think Brady's probably going to be the third. What do you guys think? 300
yards? I think
yards?
So, too, because yeah. What other choice do they have? I don't think Belichick's huddling with them today in Foxborough saying, all right, let's go to Steven Jackson.
Right.
Time for Steven to do what he does. We're going to give him 20 carries. He's going to get us 45 tough yards. I don't think that's happening.
45.
And then you think that, you know, maybe Chris Harris would cover Edelman, but he's got this bum shoulder, which stinks for him. The Patriots
are
banged up.
He's practicing, which is a good thing.
Oh, he's going to play, but he's obviously playing hurt. The Patriots linebackers are beat up, so you got to keep an eye on that. As far as FanDuel goes, who do you like in this game?
I did two lineups. I did one where I just did Edelman and Gronk with Palmer at quarterback, and I did one with Brady and James White to use both those guys. But I think, you know, outside of really White, it's Brady, Edelman, and Gronk. You know what you're going to get from those guys.
Anyone for Denver?
I did one with Anderson. I mean, Anderson has scored in each of his last 4 home games. He's got 5 touchdowns over that span. And he scored twice against them the last time these two teams met. You just look at the way he's running. He's running like the guy we saw last year. He's just not getting enough opportunities. If he's getting 20-plus touches, he's going to have a monster game.
Now, Demaryius Thomas had an interesting game against the New England Patriots in the first game. Remember, the weather was terrible. I feel like he couldn't get his footing. He was dropping everything. He had one catch for 36 yards on 13 targets. Just pathetic. And the matchup between him and Butler will be really fun. Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, he probably won't get Butler. Sanders will get Butler.
You think so? Because I felt who covered him last time? I thought Butler did.
No.
No, it was Ryan.
What they typically do is they put Butler on the second guy.
I know that, but I
thought they'll use the safety over the top on the first.
They don't always do that. Like Butler faced Beckham.
No, I mean that's typically what their plan has been.
Not always, but yes, I understand that they like to do that. All right, well, which Broncos receiver do you like better, Sanders or Thomas?
I did one lineup with Sanders because Thomas is so expensive.
Yeah.
Okay, how much your money are you saving, though? Just a couple hundred, maybe?
No, it's like I think Thomas is over 8,000, Sanders 7,400.
Last week they were real close.
I'll check.
By the way, New England's run defense has been very good lately.
But they lost Mayo.
Yeah.
That's the only way I see Denver winning this game is if those running backs just find a way to go off.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a tough end for Peyton.
All right, Arizona at Carolina. So Emmanuel Sanders is
$200. Excuse me.
Emmanuel Sanders is one of my wide receivers, and then I have two Cardinals guys in there. But you know, I had a tough choice: John Brown at 6,500, Malcolm Floyd at 7,500. What do you guys think? What's a better value?
I used one of each in two different lineups. I didn't like the targets for Floyd last week.
Yeah, but it's only 1 week, right? I mean, I think Norman probably more likely to cover him, right?
Right. That's the thing.
So who's your favorite Arizona wide receiver? Because I actually also have Larry Fitzgerald in there at 8,000, and we know Norman doesn't go into the slot. Maybe Fitzgerald is a big game.
I think Fitzgerald's a good one.
I did one lineup with Floyd by itself, and then I did one lineup with Brown and Fitzgerald together.
And, of course, the problem with going with Fitzgerald is everybody's going to go with Fitzgerald after the game that he just had.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Anybody's playing FanDuel using all the same players at this point. It's the one
guy.
So
then where do you differentiate? Just by having one guy?
It's like I have in one lineup, the lineup where I have Palmer. You want me to read it, Adam?
Yeah, sure.
It's Palmer, Anderson, and Stewart, Edelman, Floyd, and then Philly Brown. That's my one different guy because of cost. And I have Gronk and Gano and the Patriots.
Right, so you got to hope that you're one different guy.
Well, it's the combination also.
Of course.
It's that. And I did both of them, one in tournament, one in single entry. So we'll see, you know, where I have more luck. And the other lineup I did, Adam, if you want that one too, is you want it?
Yeah.
It's Brady, White and Anderson, Brown and Fitzgerald and Sanders, Olsen, Cannizzaro, and the Panthers defense.
My one lineup right now is Brady, Jonathan Stewart, C.J. Anderson, John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, and Larry Fitzgerald, Greg Olsen, and Chandler Catanzaro in the Patriots defense. And I have $1,000 left over, so I could upgrade from John Brown, who really hasn't been doing much lately, from John Brown to Michael Floyd. I'm just worried about the Josh Norman thing, but I don't know how that's going to play out. So,
but see, Dave, there's so little difference between my lineup and Adam's lineup. You know, it's the quarterback. You said you have Brady?
I do, yeah. And this
okay,
is
so
this
then
a
it's
50,
the running
50.
Back. So he has Stewart. I have White. He went with the Patriots. I just the only thing I did to I wanted to do two different lineups with the you know as much difference as I could.
Yeah.
The one carryover was Anderson for both.
Well, I think for a cash game for like a double up, you can make a lineup of like really good players, you know, big name players, expensive guys. My cheapest player that's not a kicker or defense is John Brown. Oh no, CJ Anderson, 6,300. But I think for a tournament, you know, you have Philly Brown in there. Are there other total dark horse guys that could win you a tournament that you guys could think of?
Well, I mean, Amendola or LaFell or Keyshawn Martin, you know, one of those guys can score a touchdown with a long catch. You know, that could help. I think, you know, obviously Dave was joking, but, you know, Steven Jackson has one of those, you know, two touchdown type games where they, you know, instead of Brady going over the top, it's Jackson for one and then one late. Ronnie Hillman is somebody, you know, that could, you know, come through. Or Owen Daniels, you know, is a guy that you've seen the Broncos throw the ball to. It's going to be, you know, something like that. Devin Funchess catches a touchdown. JJ Nelson, you know, there's a lot of guys, but it's just a matter of.
I almost think you've got to pick. You have to guess right on the Carolina receiver.
Right.
which means you got to guess the receiver that's not going to get covered by Patrick Peterson.
Right, and you also have the situation that's developing now where Jonathan Stewart didn't practice today. He's got an ankle injury. Is it Cameron Arsfain, you know, come the middle of the game because Stewart can't, you know, gut it out the whole game?
Well, Stewart does have a pretty good matchup because Arizona has actually been struggling against running backs. The last four running backs that have gotten 11 carries or more have averaged 5 yards or better per carry against the Arizona Cardinals. And
right.
If Stewart's healthy, he's getting 11 carries or more. I can guarantee you that.
He's been fantastic to close the season.
Well, he might have fresh legs right now.
Yep.
But now, look, I didn't watch much football when I was on vacation, unfortunately. I wanted to, and I was sitting at dinner on Sunday. We were trying to stream the Pittsburgh game on the app, but we didn't have good enough Wi-Fi. But I mostly just watched the Packers game. But from what I saw, it looked like Jonathan Stewart had one big run of like 60 yards or whatever on the first play of the game, and then he didn't really do that much after that. Is that accurate?
I gave up after it was 31-0.
Well, he finished with like something like 20 for 100, and one of those carries was 50 or 60 yards. So
yeah, it was
right off the bat. Again, take into account he was playing one of the better defenses.
Yeah,
in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. What happened? What happened in that game?
Well, in the first 2 minutes, they gave up the long run to Stewart, then they scored, and then Russell Wilson. I think it was his first pass. It was the second play of the game.
Right.
Offensively, he threw a pick six to Kuechly.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. I couldn't believe it. 31-0. And then I didn't even bother with the second half. Somebody told me the score at halftime, and I was like, oh, forget it. Hanging out with the family instead. And played a little blackjack. Little let it ride. Fun game.
How'd you do?
Those games are terrible. Let it ride specifically.
I lost $5 for the trip.
Consider yourself lucky.
I do. All right, let's go to some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. This is Rick from Detroit, living in L.A. Okay. He says, hello, Hans, Severus, and Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, we should make mention that.
Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. R.I.P. Very sad to hear.
Yeah. The best Christmas villain of all time.
The best Christmas villain. I'll give that to him.
Didn't he say that Die Hard was a Christmas movie?
Everybody does, except for this guy.
Except for little Adam Azer.
Well, I can't really disagree with him, you know. So
right, especially now that he's passed, you can't do anything.
So Severus, I guess, is his Harry Potter character.
Yes. He's probably going to be known far more for that character.
I don't think so.
Absolutely.
Hans Gruber.
Then Hans Gruber?
That was
absolutely.
His first role. His
Severus
first...
Snape is going to be... Go look at the
Twitter
memes
poll.
All about him. Go ahead.
His first role ever was Hans Gruber. How amazing is that?
Is that true?
That his first role ever. Can you believe that? I'll even go to his IMDb page, but that's pretty incredible. All right, here's the question.
His first movie role ever, or like he got off the plane in L.A.?
I mean, I don't know
and
if he...
like went right to a casting call for bad guy European and action Christmas film.
I don't know if he did like amateur theater, but his first movie role, I will confirm right now. Oh, yeah. Okay, he did some TV stuff. Die Hard was his first movie. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. How does your approach...
Spell the guy from Harry Potter?
S-E-V-E-R-U-S.
S-E-V-E...
That's his first name, Snape. And I haven't even seen all the Harry Potter movies, but I know that he was...
R-U-S?
In them all.
Yeah, you have to put Snape in there. Snape is the big name there.
Snape is the first name or the second name?
That's the name that he's known by.
S-N-A-P-E?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I ask the question now? Dave, you answer. How does your approach change in a point-per-completion league?
Well, it goes without saying that you're talking about quarterbacks gaining tons of value, but it's going to be across the board. I think you're a little more selective about your quarterback in that type of a format, but that's really it.
Well, is the first pick in the draft a quarterback?
I wouldn't take a quarterback first in a point per completion league. But Cam would not be my number one pick.
Yeah, because Cam finished.
I mean, you're talking about adding another, you know, 20 to 35 points per game per quarterback.
Right.
So you're looking for the ones that are going to get closer to 35 week after week. So again, quarterbacks that are going to throw a lot and have a high completion rate. Roethlisberger comes to mind.
Brady.
Brady definitely comes to mind. Breeze comes to mind.
Bortles.
I'd like to see a better completion rate from Double B.
Bortles, 58.6% completion.
It's completion rate or
it's,
completions?
It's completions, but I want a good completion rate.
No, no, but I was going to say, because completion rate would be Wilson. Completions would not be Wilson.
Right. Russell Wilson, 15th in completions, but he, I think he was like third in completion percentage at 68%. Amazing. Okay. Matt, next email's from Matt, Dave. Where's Matt from?
Matt is from Wortham, Texas.
Dear Jerome, Marshall, and Curtis, all better running backs than Terrell Davis. How can Terrell Davis be considered a Hall of Fame finalist when he barely lasted 7 years in the NFL? Stat of the century, Jerome Bettis has more 1,000-yard rushing seasons, 8, than Terrell Davis has seasons played, 7. I beg you discuss this on the podcast because I'm sure most people disagree with me.
I don't think most people disagree with you.
Would you guys put Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame?
No.
I agree.
Okay, it's unanimous. Matt, good email.
But the one thing I would tell you is how many years did Gale Sayers play in the NFL?
I don't know. I could look it up.
I think it was 8?
I actually think it was less than that.
Snape is running away with it so far.
Oh, you're Twitter polling it?
Yeah. 64 votes, 69% Snape.
Gale Sayers came into the NFL in 1965.
He played 7 years.
Right.
He's a Hall of Famer?
He's a Hall of Famer.
So far, the four comments are both Christmas rolls, right? That's not even a question going to be remembered is clearly Snape, iconic film series. Millennials will be the ones that tell you it's Snape. My goodness, it's Snape.
Yeah, I guess so. I would have said Hans Gruber, but all right.
I still think it's Hans Gruber.
We can remember him as Hans Gruber, but Snape is his most mainstream character.
Also was sad to hear of the Glenn Frey passing. I was, you know, obviously sad when anybody passes. I was never a huge David Bowie fan, but I was a big Eagles fan. And I saw Glenn Frey in concert. And I know a lot of people were really upset about David Bowie, understandably. I was upset about Glenn Frey. Big fan.
A lot of...
nothing wrong with being upset over both of them.
No, yeah, I know.
Deaths lately. And then we had one locally of a peer of mine, Juan Rodriguez, who used to cover the Marlins, who covered the Marlins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He died of a brain tumor on Monday.
Yes.
Very sad.
Yes.
Live your life, people.
All right, here's a question here.
We got a Hans. Watch Die Hard the night he passed. It's Hans all the way.
All right. Let me really read the question.
It's probably our age.
Shut up. Aaron from Maine says, Dear Boomer, Cower, and Gonzalez. We know those guys. CBS, NFL. Okay, early keeper question for next year. 12-team PPR, one keeper per year. Oh, and it's a one-year keeper league. 10-point bonus if a wide receiver goes over 100 yards. Would you rather keep Allen Robinson in the fifth or Brandon Marshall in the seventh?
If it's just 1 year, that makes it different.
Meaning you can't keep him the year after.
Right. It's not that much of a difference in value. I'd go Robinson.
I would, too.
Okay.
I would, too.
This is from Frodo. I was in a weird scenario where I luckily got into the playoffs. We play in a four-division, 12-team league. The winners of the division make the playoffs, and then we have two wild-card teams.
So these are three-team divisions?
That's so weird. Two wild-card teams based on best record.
It's kind of fun, though. Like, just imagine, Adam, if you, me, and Jamie were in the same division.
I was in the worst division. I won my division going 5-8. Some people are upset that a team that went 5-8 made the playoffs and not only made it, but I won everything and I beat out the two best teams on the way. Now our commissioner wants to change the playoff landscape so a team like mine won't make the playoffs next year. I think that's unfair seeing as my 5-8 team was still in the top five in points and I won the league. So what's your opinion on records for the playoffs and et cetera?
Yeah, dude, your team was 5-8.
He won his division.
So I'm glad you were in the top five for points. I'm sure you were in the top three for points against, which is something you just can't control. But your record is your record. You lucked into it because of how your commissioner set up the league. I guess this is the downside to having
three-man
divisions. Because the other two teams in his division stunk.
Right. So he didn't luck into it.
That happens.
When it happens in a traditional 12-team two-division league, you're talking about a first-place team that's like 7-6.
Hey,
which
look.
I think
you got a reward point.
I like rewarding points for playoff berths too, but I still think the win loss record should mean something. I think winning your division should mean something.
Well, he won his division.
Right. It's just, it's crappy how he won the division.
Okay,
because it's a 3-team division. How many 3-team divisions do you hear
about? The way
that
the league is set up is crappy, but it's not crappy how he won
the division. That's my complaint, is that the way the league is set up is crappy, and the commissioner changing it around. Hopefully, he should really just make it a 1-division league. Why have 4 divisions? It's fun. It sounds fun at first, and then you realize crap like this is going to happen. Just imagine if you were 8-5, but you were in 3rd place in your division, and you lost out on a wild card.
Yeah, but if you were 12th in points.
But what if?
But 8-5.
Okay, but what if I was 8-5 and I led my division and I won my division and I was 12th in points? I shouldn't get to make the playoffs because I was 12th in points.
Well, if you won your division, you make the playoffs.
Right, but you're using the argument that being 12th in points is a bad thing.
No, I'm not. I'm saying if you're 8-5 and you've beaten up on teams because they had bad weeks or because you know your team was stacked on bye weeks and the other team wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that should necessarily mean that you're better off than the guy who finished 5-8 because his team had some bad luck. But on the weeks that he lost, he would have beaten everybody else.
I say 12-team league, 6 divisions of 2 teams, 6 division winners make the playoffs, and the next 2 best records, 8 teams in the playoffs.
So I think 8 of the 12 teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
So you have to really suck to miss the playoffs.
Somebody summed this up very well on Twitter. Snape, but kind of like how McDonald's is more well known than St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
As in the steakhouse is better?
Yes.
Well, I mean, where would you rather go to propose to your girlfriend?
Okay. Last email is from Matt. Where is he from?
Matt's from Grand Island, Nebraska.
I am a 2-time champion in my league, but winning this past year seemed really hollow. A lot of the league members checked out, and there was really no trash talk. Can you discuss early ideas for fun rules or things I can implement for next year to bring the intensity back in the league? What are some of the craziest things you've heard people do in their leagues?
Side bets.
Like what? What does that mean?
I mean, make side bets. Do stupid bets like we do.
Or the team that finishes in last.
No, no, if you
has
lose,
to shave his armpits
you
and then
lose that
wear
week,
the armpit hair.
No, if you lose that week, you gotta do something stupid.
Or you can just bet on your games.
Now, I've heard about leagues where there's betting on games that gets pretty intense. Like the dollar amounts are pretty eye-opening.
Well, I don't play in those leagues.
Like way more than what the entry is to the league.
I tried talking trash in the podcast league when it was all over, and Jamie called me out because I was a big jerk.
Yeah, well, you did it when it was over. You weren't saying that during the year. Such bravado.
In my keeper league, we created a postseason for the teams that didn't make the playoffs. And it's a 12-team league where 6 teams make it out of 2 divisions. Yeah, crazy to think that there's a 2-division, league. And the 6 teams that don't make the playoffs go into a tournament where the winner of the tournament not only wins a cash prize, but also gets the number 1 pick the following year.
Well, I'm going to end this fun. Good podcast. Sad podcast at times, but a good podcast. And Dave, we're very happy that you're okay.
Yes.
And
I did get a scratch on my hand here. Adam, you can take a look.
I can't really tell.
Well, I mean, I got a Band-Aid on.
I'll take your word for it. That's Dave Richard and Jamie Eisberg. Dave is showing me his... ew. Dave is showing me his gut, and he's like rubbing it and squeezing it. That was...
I didn't do that. That was my wound from my car accident.
Well, now
my eyes... could have been a very traumatic accident.
Now my eyes are wounded. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg, thank you guys.
Thank you, Adam. Bye.
Adam Azer. See ya.